Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Welcome again to the Wise and Wonderful. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's how we look. Yeah. Didn't it say good looking, attractive? Yeah, it's us. There are a few intelligent people here. We're going to give them credit. All right. Well, let's just have an opening prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to get together. We love you, Lord. We love this time of year. So we remember that the main thing about Christmas is Jesus. So we're keeping him right up there at the front, Lord. So we don't get frustrated, stressed out, behind, any of that stuff. So we love you, Lord. We worship you. We celebrate your birthday today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to have Cindy come up here, and she's got a good sermon, message, lecture, teaching. Which one is it? You can take your pick.
Maybe a combination.
A combination of all of those. So get ready for a combination. So thanks for being here, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure I really want to do this because Brian came home last week and re-preached your sermon to me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And it was good.
Oh.
It was really good.
Oh, yeah. Good, thanks.
So I don't know if I can follow that.
He said he was going to do that.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Okay. It's Christmas, so I thought we would do a little Christmas flair. So, lessons from A Christmas Carol, how to go from Bah Humbug to God Bless Us Everyone. First of all, who all has seen the show or read the book, A Christmas Carol? Anybody not? Because if you haven't, I have a lot of explaining to do as I go along. You haven't seen the movie, Mother? Oh, boy. Okay. We're going to have to fix that. She's deprived. Okay. Well, as you know in the story, it's about Ebenezer Scrooge, right? He is not a nice man. He is single. All he cares about is money. That's all he cares about. Is that so? All he cares about is money. He doesn't care about anybody else. So he's like an extreme case. He doesn't care if you're on the street begging. He just tells them to get away. He doesn't want to help anybody at all. That's just, he doesn't want to do that. So that's an extreme case of somebody who's really a Bah Humbug person. Selfish person, yes. But you know what? I think we all have a little bit of Ebenezer Scrooge in us. Just a little bit. We may not have a lot, but we may have some. We may have some. So, a few lessons that we can learn from this story. First of all, there's life after death. We see that in the story. Now, it's not the way it's portrayed in the Bible. I don't know of any relatives who are running around with, you know, chains on them and coming to visit us and telling us we need to straighten up and all that kind of stuff like Ebenezer's partner did. But in one of the first scenes of the show or the movie, Marley visits Scrooge in his rooms and scares him to death, you know, at first. And then Ebenezer Scrooge thinks, well, maybe this is just indigestion. Maybe this isn't real. You know, this isn't really happening. But in the very first paragraph of the book, if you've ever read the book, it says Marley is as dead as a doornail. In the very first paragraph of the book, because you have to establish that he was dead to know that he was able to move around and have life after that and come back. So, but there is life after death, and we see in the Bible that there's life after death. It says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We always hear this at funerals, right before we put the casket in the ground usually to give us some comfort, but that's not the end of it. We're not just putting our loved one in the ground and that's the end. They're already somewhere else anyway, right? So, but we know that,
Asleep in Jesus.
Jesus. So their body, that's their body going down there. But there's life after that. There's life after death. So another lesson is after you're dead, it's too late to change anything. It's too late. You're done. You know? So Marley, who was Scrooge's business partner, came back to tell him, look, you've got a chain on you as long as mine years ago. You better do something about this. If you want to change it, now's the time to change it when you're alive, right? Now's the time to change things in our life when we're alive. Because when we're dead, it's too late. There's nothing changing then. The Bible says, then I saw a great white throne with him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Now, this is another proof that there's life after death, right? Because the dead people are standing up. So dead people don't typically stand up, but they were. So they were back to life. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire was a second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. It does not go on to say, and then you have a chance to fix it. Right? It doesn't say you're going to be punished for a little while, but then it's okay. You have another chance. So we've got to get this right now. Right? Right now we've got to get it right. Lesson 3 from A Christmas Carol. Greed blinds you to everything else. Now, we may not be greedy in that all we care about is money, but a lot of us care about getting our way. Right? Let's just be honest. Don't we care about getting our way? Having things done the way we want them to be done? That's greed. That's wanting our own way. She said, in the book it says, Scrooge, he refused to help the poor. He even went so far as to say they could go to the workhouses. He didn't care. He supported the workhouses. And when he was told that people would rather die than go to the workhouses, his compassionate response was, if they would rather die, let them do so and decrease the surplus population. Right? Is that not a hard, that's hard-hearted, isn't it? That's hard-hearted. He didn't care about anything. Scripture says, then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. And we know the issue Jesus had with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they were the church of the time. They should have known better. They should have been helping the poor. They should have been doing all these things. They should have been loving people, but they did none of that. They were full of greed, and really they just wanted people to look at them and think how wonderful they were. That's really all they cared about was their appearance and how great, and everybody to just, you know, call them rabbi and call them wonderful. But this is what Jesus says in Ephesians 5:3, or Paul says, actually, sorry. But among you there must not be even a hint, not even a hint, of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. They're improper. If we are Christians and we claim to be followers of Jesus and God's children, we should not have any of this stuff in our life, not even a hint. We usually stop at the hint of sexual immorality. And we don't go on. Any kind of impurity or greed. That's all in there together. There should be a hint of none of that. Lesson 4. God can send people and things into your life to get your attention. He can send things our way to get our attention. Sometimes they're big things. Sometimes they're little things. In the life of Scrooge, he sent his dead partner. And then he sent three spirits after that. Spirit of Christmas past to remind him of his past. Spirit of Christmas present to show him some things going on in the present. And the spirit of Christmas in the future, which was how things were going to go if he didn't straighten up, basically. That's what how that was. But we're going to look at some ways that God has gotten people's attention. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. He had some curiosity, right? What's going on over there? That's kind of a weird thing. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. So not only did God get his attention, but then he talked to him. Now that I have your attention, let me talk to you for a minute, right? Sometimes God will get our attention, but it's not just for the sake of a show. It's not just for the sake of, you know, let me show you what I can do. Usually when God gets our attention, it's because there's going to follow something after that, something he's trying to get through to us. He's going to talk to us some way. It may not be verbally. It may just be to our heart, feeling in our heart. It may be through somebody else that he sent our way to tell us something. But God wants to talk to us and get our attention. Well, lesson five is, whether or not you choose to change is up to you. We never have to change. We don't have to. God is not a God who is saying, do this or I'm going to bop you over the head, or do this or you're going to have this or that. But he wants the best life for us, right? So he's going to tell us what the best life is, and it's up to us whether we, end up being a Scrooge or a Tiny Tim. You've seen the movie. God bless us, everyone. Yes. So we have to change. We have to decide every day whether we're going to keep that little bit of Scrooge that's in us, or if we're going to get it out and we're going to move forward and be more like God instead of more like us, right? Exodus 3:10 through 12 says, did I mess this up? Nope. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? We'd probably have all had the same response. Lord, you want me to go to Pharaoh? You want me to tell Pharaoh what to do? You know, we would all be sitting there saying, I think I got this wrong. There's something wrong here, right? Yeah, you must be talking to somebody else, but there's nobody else here in the desert, you know. I don't know. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God is not going to tell us to go do something he's not going to be there with us through. He's going to go with us through whatever, wherever he sends us, whatever he asks us to do. He's not going to shove us out there and say, okay, you're on your own now. I hope you make it. You know, he's not going to do that. So we can rest assured if God tells us to do something, he's going to be there with us. Then, lesson six, we should be changing every day. Now, in the story, Scrooge goes through this whole night of all these spirits visiting him, and the next day he is a changed person. He is instantly changed. Well, we know that human nature is, we can be changed one day. We can have a mountaintop experience with the Lord, and we can be great. And then the day after that, it's almost like we start slipping back. It's just human nature. So we've got to be careful that every day we are attempting to change. Every day we're trying to change and to get more and more like Jesus. We've got to be more and more like him. We have to choose to be Christ-like. We have to choose to get stuff out of our spirit and out of our life that are displeasing to God. It's up to us to root it out. You know, we have to ask Jesus to help us because we can't do it in and of ourselves a lot of times. But we've got to choose to change. Change is one of the things people hate the most. People like their routine. People do not like to change. Yet we should be changing daily. So, Luke 9:23, he said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." I think that's important that daily we think about it, daily we take up our cross, because so many times we get in a routine. You know, the alarm goes off, you get up, you do your thing. You know, you take a shower, you put your makeup on, you get in your car, you go to work. You work all day, you come home, and it's a routine. You do it over, and you do it over and over. And so some of those of you who are retired, you still have your routines, I bet. I bet you do. Because that's what we are. We're people that we like a routine. We like to do the same things. But we've got to think every day, I need to be more like Jesus. I think it wouldn't hurt us to put something on your bathroom mirror that says, "Be more like Jesus today." You know, or "I choose to be more like Jesus." Something that you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, "I need to be more like Jesus today." Lesson 7. Looking out for the needs of others is a sign of love in your life. Now, Scrooge went to thinking absolutely nothing about the poor and not caring if they died and thinking that'd probably be a good idea if they did, honestly. Giving to the poor. Helping people he knew, or families that he knew, like his assistant, Bob Cratchit, and his family. He decided to help them, and you know, he gave a big donation to the poor to make up for years of not giving. So he was a changed person. You could see it in his actions. I get real irritated when people tell me what a great Christian they are, but I never see it in their life. I mean, I'm sorry, but you can put all the scripture you want on Facebook, but if you treat people ugly, sorry, that's a problem. There's a heart issue. Something needs to be changed. So we need to show love to other people. Scripture says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law." And then it says, commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. We have to love people. We have to love not just the people who love us, because that's easy, right? It's easy to love people who love me. But if somebody doesn't love me, it's a little harder. You know, if you know you're going to reach out to hug somebody and they're going to slap your hand away and say, "Leave me alone," or whatever, it makes you not want to put forth the effort. But we are supposed to do that. We're supposed to go that extra mile. There was somebody in my life who I felt that way about. I feel like every time I reached out to them, I just got my hand slapped. I mean, just over and over. And I was just whining to God about it, you know, and I was telling God, "This isn't fair. I always have to take the first step. I always have to go the extra mile. They don't ever have to do it. Why is it always me that has to do it?" And you know what he told me? Spoke to my heart. I could hear it as clear as, not as clear in my head, but in my heart. He said, "It's because you're mine and it's required." End of story. End of story. You're mine, and it's required. So we are to reach out to others. Lesson 8, a transformed life is the greatest gift you can give yourself. Before Scrooge's transformation, he was not happy at all. He might have thought he was happy in his money, but he was horrible. You could see it in his attitude. He was just gripey and miserable. He was miserable. And he made everybody around him miserable and not want to be around him is what he did. So, but after that, he was happy. You know what? When you're happy and you're kind of happy-go-lucky, your stress level is lower than if you're worrying about stuff all the time and griping about stuff all the time. You know, there's physical effects to being happy and being mad and angry and all those things. So a transformed life is the greatest gift to give yourself. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Don't we want to know what God's will is? We want to know what his will is for our life. We've got to be able to follow what he wants us to do. And then lesson 9, a transformed life is the greatest gift you can give others. Don't you want to be around somebody who's happy? I know I do. I used to have a boss who was he was an Eeyore, you know? He was just depressed all the time. It was always, you know, bad, the worst case scenario and anything that could come up. And when he would call me and they would say, and I'll just say his name, but they say, "Ricky's on the phone," I would think, oh, I just don't want to talk to him. He's so, and I get off the phone and I get depressed, you know? It's just really depressing. So you don't want to be around that person. Now, if you had somebody call who's always lifting you up, and always, you'd be like, oh, give me that phone, you know? Let me talk to them. That's what we're supposed to do, lift each other up. If we're a transformed Scrooge, we're going to be happy. We're going to be pleasant. People are going to want to be around us. That's what we want. We want people to want to be around us. So the best gift to the world, be the best gift to the world that you can be. Be the best gift you can be. This Christmas, you be the gift. Now, I'm sure if you have grandchildren, they won't appreciate just you being the gift.
That's right.
But, try that. Tell me how it works for you. Yeah, I'm your gift. Ta-da! So, but be the best gift you can be. You know what? You guys are a gift to me. Hopefully, sometimes I'm a gift to you. I'll try to transform before I see you next time. But we need to be the best gift that we can be by getting rid of greed and sin in our life. And when I say greed, if money's your thing, okay, get rid of it. But if it's just simply wanting to have your own way and everything, you know, maybe it's wanting your spouse to do everything your way. Ooh. Maybe it's not, you know, not saying, "Honey, you know what? If that's what you want to do, we'll do that." Maybe, you know, instead of saying, "Well, you know, really, we should do it this way because da-da-da-da-da," you know, even though that's what they want to do, right? Just saying. I'm meddling. So get rid of greed and sin in your own life. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. If you're not in the Word, me talking on Wednesdays, pastor talking on Sundays is not really going to do much to renew your mind. I mean, it's just not. You've got to be in the Word yourself and get fed and have your mind renewed every day. If you are capable of memorizing Scripture, you should. I used to be capable of memorizing Scripture. It's getting harder and harder. All right, there you go. Jesus wept. She knows one. Okay, and then loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Not just your Christian neighbors. Maybe it's that neighbor next door whose dog barks all the time, right? You know, maybe it's neighbor who throws their trash in your yard. I don't know. But it's love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say love your nice neighbors, right? It doesn't say that. It's love your neighbor. Your neighbor is also the person who's standing in line with you at Walmart, or at the gas station, or wherever, the one who is griping out somebody, you know, they're your neighbor. You've got to love your neighbor as yourself. So these three things, if we could do these three things, we would be a life transformed, right? So let's pray. Father, we just come before you. Lord, we all have degrees of Scrooge in us. None of us are perfect. Father, I ask that you would red flag in each one of our lives, just to us, where we need to change some things in our life, where we need to get some things out so that we can get closer to you. So, Father, it may be sometimes just not saying something when we should be quiet. Maybe we just need to be quiet on some issues. Maybe it is just not trying to get our way on some things. Maybe we are stiff with the money and we don't want to give to people. Maybe that's a place we need to honor you with as our pocketbook. I don't know what it may be, Father, but each one of us have an area. And Lord, I pray that you just show us where that area is, and you would help us, Father, to just draw closer to you, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would be diligent in being in your word and praying to you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would help us, because this is where we stumble a lot as humans, that you would really help us to love people who aren't very lovely. The unlovable, the mean people, Father, help us to love them. Help us to be kind, even in the face of somebody not being kind to us. Help us have the right heart, the right spirit, the one that Jesus has. Help us to have that too, so that we can make a difference in the lives of other people and in our own life as well. So Father, we just thank you for this, and I ask that you would help us in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen.